Tief Tone Talk Short Scale.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer Spezialfolge des Tief Tone Talks. Ich habe mir überlegt, wäre es nicht cool, mal auch jemanden vors Mikro zu bekommen, der nicht im Forum aktiv ist, der vielleicht sogar kein Bassist ist. Und ich bin ja gerade auf Tour mit der Peter Karp Band und wir haben hier zwei Off-Days. Wir sind gerade bei Basel und wir spielen jetzt quasi, also wenn ihr den Podcast hört, werden wir in Basel gespielt haben und hier in der Ecke. Dann geht es wieder weiter Richtung Rhein-Main-Gebiet. Also viel zu tun, aber diese zwei Tage, wir haben hier ein Airbnb gemietet bekommen vom Management, also ein Haus, was wir für uns haben, ist sehr entspannt, sehr schön. Wir haben ein bisschen Studioarbeit gemacht, wir haben vor allem rumgehangen, viel Spaß gehabt und wir haben viele, viele gute, lange Gespräche geführt. Und da dachte ich mir, warum hole ich mir nicht einen der Amis vors Mikro und spreche mit ihm, als ob ich es irgendwie gewusst hätte. Und das habe ich jetzt wirklich nicht geplant, aber ich habe mal so das Mikro und ich habe mein Mac natürlich dabei, habe alles mitgenommen, weil ich mir dachte, naja, vielleicht nimmst du hier eine Folge irgendwie auf für den normalen Tiefton-Talk, weil ne, wir haben ja weiter schöne Gäste geplant und so und muss ja Termine finden und da ein bisschen flexibel bleiben. Und man weiß ja auch nie, was man arbeitet. Und ich habe so meine Arbeitstasche, da ist der Mac drin, da ist das Mikro drin, da ist ein Interface drin, auch ein bisschen was für Bass-Recording-Aufnahmen und so Sachen, Studio-Kopfhörer, was man halt einfach so dabei hat, gerade wenn man im Bandbus unterwegs ist. Wir haben ja Platz und es ist nie verkehrt, wenn man halt mal irgendwo Aufenthalt hat. Und ja, lange Rede, kurzer Sinn. Ich habe meinen Schlagzeuger mit meinen Anführungszeichen, es ist natürlich der Schlagzeuger der Peter Karp Band, Mike, gefragt, ob er Lust hat, einfach mal ein bisschen mit mir über Bassisten zu sprechen und Bassspiel und Musik. Und er natürlich sofort, hell yo man, that sounds awesome, in seinem wundervollen amerikanischen New Jersey-Akzent. Und Mike ist Ende 40, ein wirklich sehr, sehr gefragter Drummer drüben, stammt aus New Jersey, hat also unzählig viele, viele Jobs gespielt, ist nun seit einigen Jahren, schon seit einigen Jahren ist gut, seit über 15 Jahren Drummer der Peter Karp Band und hat auch unter anderem viele tolle Sachen, hat mal mit John Mayer gespielt, erzählt er mir, bevor John Mayer richtig bekannt wurde, war er quasi in der Band, dann hat er Aufnahmen gemacht für den Wu-Tang Clan, für Sheryl Crow. Also das ist jemand, der wirklich, wirklich das Business kennt und unglaublich geil spielt. Und es ist eine Riesenehre für mich, mit ihm Musik zu machen. Und ja, ich dachte mir einfach, wir schnappen ihn uns und sprechen übers Bassspielen. Ein bisschen technische Probleme habe ich hier noch irgendwie zu bewerkstelligen, möchte ich noch kurz sagen. Irgendwie geht mein Kabel vom Interface nicht mehr und ich muss sie jetzt irgendwie umdisponieren. Ich nehme quasi übers Tablet auf und muss das dann irgendwie rüberschicken über meine Cloud, schicke ich es rüber an den Mac und dann muss ich irgendwie, da waren ein paar Störgeräusche auch drauf, ich habe das vorhin mal getestet. Also verzeiht mir, wenn der nicht die gewohnte Soundqualität hat. Es ist aber, glaube ich, ganz okay. Ich habe das ein bisschen abgehört, meine Testaufnahmen und habe ein bisschen am EQ gespielt und so ein paar Störfrequenzen rausgefiltert. Aber nur, damit ihr Bescheid wisst, das ist nicht irgendwie ein bisschen gerade ein wenig zusammengeschustert. Es ist nicht so die optimale Variante. Und ihr müsst mir mein Englisch bitte verzeihen. Wir führen das Gespräch in Englisch. Es ist nicht besonders gut. Ich spreche es relativ selten, komme irgendwie jetzt so klar, kann ich mich verständigen, aber beachtet bitte nicht meine Aussprache, die vielen grammatikalischen Fehler. Ich meine, die Jungs lachen immer, die freuen sich immer, die finden das total lustig irgendwie mit mir und sie meinen, ich spreche gut Englisch, das ist natürlich völliger Blödsinn, ich spreche es echt schlecht, aber ja, ich habe mir noch immer vorgenommen, auch mal irgendwelche Kurse zu machen und zu sagen, komm, polier das mal ein bisschen auf, mach mal, aber irgendwie, naja, man kommt ja dann doch im Alltag nicht zu und bisher hat es ja auch immer gereicht. Und das Schöne an Musik, es ist ja auch eine Sprache, die man sprechen kann, ohne miteinander zu sprechen und entsprechend spreche ich jetzt mit Mike. Das war jetzt ziemlich oft sprechen hintereinander. Mann, Mann, Mann. Das passiert, wenn man spontan Folgen aufnimmt und sie nicht so gut vorbereitet. Und hier ist er, Mike Capitano. Hey Mike, thanks you're here.
What did you say? Capitano?
It's wrong. Did I spell it wrong?
Cat-tapano.
Cat-tapano.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to practice a lot of my English.
Your English is better than my German.
Which is not very difficult, you know. That's
true.
So, here in Germany, with me, and now doing a podcast. You haven't expected that.
Very unexpected, but it's an honor.
It's an honor for me, and even playing with you. So, Mike, I just want to talk with you about bass players. Of course, it's a podcast for bass player. I told you about that, and all my listeners want to know, first of all, Do you like bass players?
I love bass players. You have to, being a drummer. We're the team. We're the rhythm section. We drive the bus. You know, we lay it down so everybody else can do their thing. So
true. I mean, we should be like a real team.
Definitely. And I also play bass as well. So
I remember you played my Fodera. I was quite impressed how good you play bass.
You were easily impressed then, my friend.
Maybe, but yeah, well, I mean, do you think it's important to play the other instrument as a rhythm group? So you can play bass or I should play drums?
First of all, I think every musician should try to play a little bit of drums just to build an internal clock, just to get a sense of rhythm, a sense of feel. I learned other instruments just because I wanted to learn other people's music. I taught myself guitar because I wanted to learn Beatles songs and I wanted to learn Foo Fighters songs. And I taught myself a little bit of piano again to learn Beatles songs. So, but I think it's also good in case I have ideas I want to present to other musicians. And if I don't know what I'm doing, how can I communicate that to somebody else? But if I can kind of show them on another instrument, it's easier to communicate. You know, it's easier for them to see what I'm doing and, you know, let them take it from there because they're, you know, they're the professionals. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I know. What do you expect from a bass player? So if you can cook yourself some bass or bake yourself some bass player, yeah. What are the three most important things you wanna to see while you're playing with some bass player?
Solid time, solid feel, and I would also say a flexibility, because you know, you being a bass player, you play with 100 different drummers. They're all gonna have a different feel that you'll have to adjust to in order to make a cohesive rhythm section. It's the same, you know, with me. I look for the same thing as a bass player because I want us to be able to kind of lock in, communicate, you know, have a vibe together, have a groove together. You know, I think the groove is everything. Pocket is everything. You know, I'm not really impressed by shredding bass players if they can't hold a groove. You know what I'm saying? It's just, that stuff is only impressive to other musicians, you know. But most people, when they hear music, they want to dance, and you need that strong rhythm section to groove and make people move. You know what I mean?
Of course. And you make a difference between time and feel. Tell us more about that difference.
Well, you can have someone who has time that's completely, you know, they can play to a metronome, they can play to a click, and everything is right on the beat. But there's no, that doesn't necessarily mean there's feel. You know, like when you hear Jameson, he's in the pocket, he's on time, but his feel, his groove is everything, especially to that music. It's everything. And if you had a bass player who was a little stiffer on that stuff, the music wouldn't have been the same. The feel wouldn't have been the same. So I think the other musicians who are recording with them wouldn't have necessarily be playing the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And when we talk about feel, I mean, time is something you can easily practice. Like, just take your metronome, play several licks to it, play lines, change the tempo and everything. And you can, like, just play to a half beat and, you know, make, like, different interpretation of the metronome. And when we're talking about feel, and you say feel is so important, every musician has a certain feel, but also every style has a certain feel.
Absolutely.
When you try to lock in with a bass player, I mean, what do you think? Is it like, do you have like certain rules that, you know, everybody should know to get together? It's more about like just personality and...
I think personality is a big, big part of it. I think how do I say? I think if you could play along with people who you would hang out with if they weren't musicians, it's that much better when you're playing with a musician. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, because there's a chemistry there, and that's not something that can be taught. You can either click with a musician or you're not going to click with a musician. you know, no matter what the instrument is. So I think, you know, it's having a vibe and feeding off of one another and having a common goal that, you know, together we're going to create this sound together. We're going to create this feel. We're going to create this groove. We're going to make it breathe, make it have air, make it have life, you know. And if everything is just there's no feel to that. It's just you're going through the motions. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's sterile to me. Anybody can play it along with a click track, but can you use the click track and play a little bit behind the beat? Can you play ahead of the beat? Can you, as a rhythm section, you know? And those are little things that are super, super important. And again, it also depends on the type of music you're playing as well. I mean, obviously, if you're playing ensemble stuff or classical stuff, everything is written. Everything is, you have to play it perfect, you know. But even then, to make that stuff perfect is a challenge because that music is so difficult, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're playing jazz or funk or R&B, everything's a little bit looser, you know. There's air in between everything, you know, in between the music and the groove. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. And I'm playing with you now the second tour.
Yeah.
And something I really like about your playing is that you have a lot of space in your playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you lay down the groove, you play like this, you play for the song. Mm-hmm. Everything is a song.
Absolutely.
And of course, you can play. I mean, your solo in Strange Groove. I don't know why we're not doing this on this tour.
Maybe we will. But honestly, I don't even care about drum solos. If I never played another drum solo again, I'd be fine with that. Because it's uninteresting to me. I'd rather play another song. It's all about the song, you know.
Do you think this is like a very important way of thinking for a musician to care about the song? Or because, I mean, when I look to German musicians, this is some of the big difference I have recognized it. German musicians, even the professionals, of course, they care about the song. Of course, they play a song and you play with a singer-songwriter, if it's English or German, doesn't matter, you play with them. But when I just try to remember working with the bands, and we are talking a lot more about, like, which notes should I play, which harmonies should we sing. Mm-hmm. We never talk about, like, what supports a song from the deeper level.
Okay.
You know, when I hang out with you guys, it's always like, yeah, this is a good energy, it's a good flow, it's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Is this an important thing in the US?
If you're in a band, I think it is. I think, especially if you're, again, it depends on the music, but for what I do and what you're doing with Peter Karp, he's a songwriter, and it's not about what the drums are doing. It's about what can I play that serves the song. If that means I'm just doing a hand clap throughout a whole song, if that's what's best for the song, or, you know, just quarter notes on the kick drum for all, if that's what's necessary, if it means there's no drums to be played on the song, if that's what's best for the song, then that's the approach. It's just the song always has to come first. Especially with serious, great songwriters like Peter Karp, you know, if you're in a funk band or an R&B band, it's a little, most of that stuff is kind of the same. Like, the grooves are kind of the same, so it's, you're kind of just going through the motions. But I think my job as a drummer is to bring to life whatever the songwriter is hearing in their head as the total composition. Like, what do they think the drums should be doing, you know? And I'm lucky enough with playing with Peter Karp that he trusts in my musical instincts enough to allow me to come up with my own parts, and knowing that what I'm going to do is not going to step over his music, which is the most important part of it all, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that trust he got in you, because a lot of...
He has the same trust in you too. You know?
Yeah.
Serious. I mean, you wouldn't be here if it was not the case. Seriously, you know.
I mean, the way you as a drummer can control the dynamics of a song is different to what I can do as a bass player. I can more like do with some, making some different harmonies while I'm playing, for example, not playing the root.
Right.
Then they can make like that, I mean, make it more airy, the sound. I mean, you have a lot to do with dynamics. I mean, when you go down, if you play a beat, if you just play the bass drum,
right.
This is like, you're totally composing in that situation.
Absolutely. And again, in those instances, it's what I think the song calls for. And I mean, and you're right there with me, you know, like you're listening, we're listening to each other, bass players, drummers, or you should be anyway, we're listening to each other. And you know, if I'm getting soft for a section, you're getting soft with me. When we build, we build up together, you know, it's, and I think it's, listening is the biggest. You got to listen to each other. You have to, you know, that's the way we're communicating right now. It's no different than if I'm behind a drum set and you have your bass and we're playing, we're communicating.
Totally.
You
know, so true.
If you want to be in the same conversation with somebody, you have to listen. There's, you know, some conversations, people get angry, people yell, some people whisper. It's the same thing in music. The music can get soft, music can get loud, music, it's, and I think as long as everybody's listening and they're doing those things together, that's, especially when you're doing it in the moment, to me, that's when we're making music. You know, other than playing music. And there's a big difference with that.
That's a very interesting thought, making music and playing music.
I always felt, if I'm thinking about it when I'm playing too much, I'm not making music. Because I'm not freeing myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm just so, which I find myself doing in session stuff a lot, because I get so hyper-focused in the studio that sometimes it's, you know, it's, I'll go back and listen to a track I just put on now. I'll hear it stiff and I'll know it's stiff because I'm overthinking it. I'm not trying to be organic with the music. I mean, but again, it's a studio environment is different than a live environment.
Of course.
So there's a different way of thinking. And plus live, it's just, it's in the moment. And once a gig is over, it's over. In the studio, whatever you put down, that's forever. You know, it's...
So it should be good.
Yeah. So there's, I tend to sometimes maybe overthink it in a studio. Yeah. But with the live show with Peter, it's, we've done it so long that I know the music so well because I've played it for so long that it's now it's like autopilot. I get on the stage, we play, it's, there's not much thinking anymore. You know, it's just playing those songs and giving them life, you know.
Getting alive, yeah. I think getting songs alive is maybe the most difficult thing, but even you have like the best composition. I mean, it doesn't depend which style. It can be like you can play Beethoven, boring, and you can play Peter Karp, boring, and you can, both of them are able, if you're a good musician, to play it great. So getting them alive, that's quite, definitely. That's a challenge.
Because both those musics can also be super exciting as
of
well.
Of course.
And you have to be emotionally connected to it, I think, as well. I think, you know, there's a difference. If you're just reading something off of a piece of paper, there's not much emotion to that, you know? But when it's, when that's not there and you're playing with other musicians, it's, you're putting yourself into the music. You know, you're becoming one with it and it's becoming part of you as well.
Very interesting. Totally different approach to what, for example, I discovered studying on a university in Germany, music. So it's like more like the studio version of it, you know?
Right, and I'm self-taught. I'm on the other end of the spectrum, you know, where I don't read music, you know?
You're totally self-taught. Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm lucky enough that my father's a drummer and my uncle was a drummer, so... I've always been able to get information from them. I mean, I was able to read when I was younger, and then that kind of just sort of faded away. And I never had the, I never wanted, at that point it got to, I didn't want to relearn how to read again. At that point, I just wanted to get behind a drum set and just play. And from that point on, I just used my ear for everything. When I wanted to learn about jazz, Miles Davis Kind of Blue was my every, that, I mean, I woke up to it, I went to bed to it, I devoured that. It's the most important jazz album to me ever, and listening to how it's supposed to sound. Now, I'll never call myself a jazz drummer. I could fake my way through a jazz gig, but studying the real guys, it's a whole other thing, you know. So it's I've had to rely on my ear and I guess how I perceive the music I'm listening to and kind of spitting it back out. You know what I'm saying?
I think so. Yeah. When we're talking about bass player and bass sound, do you prefer a certain sound a bass player should have, or it just depends?
Again, the music's going to dictate that. You know, for heavy music, you know, there's nothing wrong with the bass player putting on a fuzz pedal or a distortion pedal. It's, you know, listen to I think it's Aeroplane from Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
That whole beginning, the freeze zone, he's got a distortion pedal on it, and it sounds awesome, you know, and it wouldn't be the same if he didn't, you know. I don't think about another bass player's sound. I know what I want to hear, but your sound is your identity. Just how, you know, a drummer gets behind my kit, he may tune his kit completely differently because that's his voice behind the kit. I mean, I'll never tell another bass player, oh, you should, you know, put a little more treble in your EQ or your sound. That's not my place. You know, that's, I trust in the musicians that I play with that they're doing what's best for their sound, you know, whatever, wherever that may be, you know.
Do you, now you're playing a second two with me, and what do you would say is the difference between a bass player from Germany and a bass player from the US? If you can tell a difference in general, which is what
anyway. I think, and I don't mean this in a negative way.
No.
But I think it's, it tends to be German bass players seem to be a little more stiff.
What's stiff?
Not as groove oriented. It's because you guys in America we feel the music more. You know, you guys study the music more. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference between a drummer who plays, let's say, you know, with B.B. King, and then a drummer who's listening, studying the drummers of B.B. King and trying to do the same thing. There's, I think you guys are a little more regimented in your approach. And that's not every bass player. Some who are looser than others, who just have more natural feel or whatever it is. I don't necessarily think it's right or wrong. I mean, I feel it was an adjustment for you and me on the first tour because I was a little more looser behind the kit than you're probably used to German drummers being. So we kind of had to, you kind of work together to find that middle ground so that, you know, we're a tight rhythm section together. And so I think it made you want to work on maybe playing a little looser, you know, to kind of fit what we're doing. And I mean, this tour, we're killing it. I mean,
I think I'm much more loose of this tour.
Yeah, but you've also did the work. You know, you went and you studied, you prepped yourself for this. You were, instead of like, you know, reading stuff, you were listening to all the, you know, blues bass players or country bass players or, you know, to kind of catch their feel and their vibe and, you know, what makes them different than, you know, or how they're playing is different from how your approach is, you know, because you come from a completely different background than that. You know, you're university, you have a classical background, you have a strong jazz background. So playing this kind of music, I could see for you, is a whole different thing playing with Peter Carr, because it's not something you do all the time.
Yeah, well, this is, we have music that is similar to this, but in Germany, as I told you, when I came back and I played the theater, it was also rock pop. I mean, it's a little, but it feels completely different when we are playing here. It's right on time. Mm-hmm. It's like you play it very straight. Mm-hmm. You have less dynamics, but our sound is like more. It's not that crunchy. That sounds more a much cleaner sound. Like for example, like Toto. I mean, everybody's so curious about Toto's sound, and on a certain level, I must say every good German band sounds like Toto, because every good German band has a very clean and very good, well-balanced sound. And I don't ever listen to Peter Carr's music. Oh, sound is, I mean, it's good, but on a total different level.
But there's different musicians to that too, because Toto, they were made up of a band of studio musicians.
Yeah.
So they came from a whole different, you know, Steve Lukather, Jeff Beccaro, all those guys. They were all studio cats that just started, they just formed a band out of that, whereas we're not, the Peter Carr Band, we're not studio musicians, we're just musicians. You know, we do studio stuff, but that's not where we spent, at least for me, I never spent a lot of my time in the studio. It's just, and I know Peter hasn't as well, other than working on his own music. So,
yeah. Also working on something, that's true. So,
But there are, I will say, there are German drummers who, I mean, two of my favorites, who are killers, who are groove masters, who is Benny Greb and Annika Nils.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, those two are, they kind of break the rules of what people might think of German drummers being so so regimented and so maybe even a little stiff, because Benny Greb is... He's the groove. There hasn't been a guy with a groove like that in a long time. Everything he plays just feels so good. And that's like, you know, for me, it's like, I want to play like that. I want to sound like that guy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the goal. I got a long way to go to get there, but but it's there. It's, you can hear it, you know? It just, it, he plays and it makes you want to move. You know, Annika plays and it's like, and not only that, but not only the groove gear, but their chops are insane, you know, and that's hard. That's a hard balance to be able to have the two, you know.
And in Germany, we do a lot for our chops. We do a lot for that, but maybe, yeah, maybe we should do more for our feel in general. I mean,
you got to have a balance, you know. I think both are important because it's, you never know what musical situation you're going to be in where you might need those chops, you know, where in some music you're not. You're just, you know, just playing like a country two-step, which is, there's nothing to that really. But to make that feel good, to make that have that bounce, to make it sound authentic, is, that's the trick. That's the whole trick.
So if you could give like a little advice to all us, all of, man, my English. Oh, man, I hate my English.
Your English is better than my German, so do not feel bad.
And this is not a big thing. if you can give an advice to everybody, what should we German bass players should do to sound or to play better or however you like to call it?
I mean, I wouldn't just say this towards German bass. I mean, any just, first of all, don't limit yourself to one style of music, because it's all important. You can learn, even if you don't apply, there's something you can learn from every genre of music that's just good to have. And I think the more versatile of a musician you are, the more work you're going to get. I also think, you know, play with as many drummers as you can until you find a drummer that you click with, that you just know. You know, when you play with somebody, you know if it works or not. Within, you know, a few minutes of playing with somebody, you're going to know if there's a connection there. And, you know, if you're a bass player, even a drummer, who are lucky enough to find your rhythmic counterpart, that's huge. Because when you're able to connect with a drummer like that, or if you're a drummer connecting with a bass player like that, it's going to make a stronger foundation for everything else to be built upon, you know. And it's, and if it doesn't work, it can be awful. You know, I've played with bass players, not even in the States, who just either overplay or their feel is a little off, or, and that, those are nightmares, you know, because it's, it throws me off. I can't get comfortable within the song because I'm constantly like, oh, what is this guy going to do now? What is, or trying to play to him rather than him playing to me, or us trying to play together, you know. And when that happens, it's, if you're not clicking with, you know, your bass player, or a bass player is not clicking with a drummer, it can be a nightmare, you know. It's just like building a house. If you need a strong foundation for a house to be built upon. If not, the house is going to crumble. I think it's the same thing with a band. If you don't have a strong foundation as a rhythm section, everything else is going to crumble. It's a good rhythm section is everything. It just is, you know. And a band is, you know, they say a band is only as good as their drummer, and I say a band is only as good as a rhythm section, because we have to play as one. We have to, you know. Yeah. And I think another thing I would say is, don't have an ego. You know, it's especially in music, there is no ego. There shouldn't be any ego, because no matter how good a musician thinks they are, there's another musician practicing twice as hard and wants that gig twice as bad. And so it's good to have that mindset, because it'll keep you motivated, yeah. You know?
So true. Mike, this is very interesting. Mm-hmm. I would love to talk more to you, but we don't have to do it too long, because then it's going to get...
I'm here for you.
I know. I'm here for the next, like, what, 12, 10 days?
A week, I think. A week. I think the 4th.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, that's cool. So in the end, we have a tradition here.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us our most funniest bass player joke.
Most funniest bass player joke.
Or the one you most like. I mean,
I probably know more drummer jokes than bass player jokes.
I help you out there.
Yeah, I can't think. I can't think of one. I don't think I've ever heard many bass player jokes.
I mean, you can't. There are no jokes. Everything is true.
I see what you did there.
Have a good time, buddy.
I look forward to our next gig together, man. It's I've been having fun, and we've been killing it, and your playing has been amazing. Yeah. So seriously, it's I can hear the difference on this tour than the first tour. Now it sounds like you've we've been playing together for a while, even though that's not necessarily the case, because we're oceans apart from each other. But and I love playing with you. It feels good. We groove together, and most importantly, we're having fun. And that's everything. If you're not having fun doing whatever it is you do, then it's time to do something else. Yeah.
So true. Yep. We're having a lot of fun, and thanks for your warm words. I mean. So to everybody else in the listening podcast, I paid him to tell this, of course. So, I mean, no, I have to look good. And
lies. It's all lies. I gladly do this for free.
Okay, now let's move to the most important subject. We have to eat something.
We have to. That's true. We have to. That's it.
So let's go.
Let's go.